And our last speaker of the day, Tim Giesecke, is the groundwater planner for the DNR's Division of Ecological and Water Resources in New Ulm since 2016. He leads the delivery of community-based aquifer management partnerships, also known as CAMP, where he's responsible for increasing awareness and engaging communities to actively manage aquifers. Welcome, Tim.
All right. I'm going to present on CAMP, Community-Based Aquifer Management Partnerships. We started that. We kind of look at it as you need collaborations to solve these problems. So let's start a collaboration first before we dive into it. So, I appreciate successes, near misses, and failures. That's what our work is about. So start with a few words of wisdom. The path to failure is paved with mistakes. The path to success is paved with a few more. You have to get there with mistakes. You learn from mistakes. So a few lessons about our camps. We'll start off with mistakes. We see there's a part one and a part two of our camps. They kind of emerged. Part one is aquifer co-management. And part two is the entire community's water cycle. What we learned right away is a little bit of information can go a long way, but too much basically buries the conversation. A groundwater checking account resonates with communities. They understand that when you explain that they're sharing that groundwater account, they want to know who else is sharing it with them. And then also land use decisions equal water use decisions. They don't really think that, but when you bring it up to them, it seems to make a lot of sense. And then conservation becomes difficult when one or more parties lose. So if the city depends on revenue from selling water, reducing water use relimits their revenue stream. None of us get up in the morning trying to figure out how we get paid less today. And if you challenge someone to do that, it's going to be difficult. Part two is some state agencies give correct advice, but sometimes it's conflicts at the community level. You know, how do you reduce risk of contamination? Well, you better unhook all wells that are connected together. What if you need an emergency backup system? Well, you better be connected to another well system. So look, what is the risk at the local level? And then communities appreciate a collaborative approach through their whole water cycle. Collaboration is used in many different ways, but in this definition, we want to use it as a very specific role. A lot of times people say they're collaborating when they're really just communicating or cooperating, but you know, commitment and trust is really part of collaboration. So collaboration in the sense of that is sharing resources, staff, information. You almost become a hybrid organization, as they call it. So if you become a quite an intimate situation when you're really collaborating. And that's where we feel we need to be with aquifers. So CAMP then begins by addressing the social issue. If you look at that campfire there and the kids around it, you know, what is going on there in the initial campfire? Are there people talking about, you know, the logs and how much fuel is there? What's the conversion rate and what's the carbon footprint? You know, people are talking and building relationships. If you do talk about that, which is interesting stuff, you probably won't be at the next one. And that's something we go to communities. We start talking about all the technical information right away when we don't even know them. And we're supposed to be working with them over time. So how do you use social science? I began my career, you know, my master's in environmental sciences and worked with conservation districts, so I understand the technical and scientific role. But as my career has gone on, I see the solutions are more aligned with the social aspects of decisions. So here's kind of a science look at the social science. So there's a values and a knowledge. And you can have consensus and disagreement on each of them. So if we look at a social issue, it's disagreement on values and knowledge. So how many situations do we go into when we have disagreement on values and knowledge? And when many of our situations are like that. And so if you go there with a technical solution, when they don't agree with your knowledge or don't have the same values, they're not going to listen as well. So they become social problems. Now, if you have disagreement on values and consensus on knowledge, then it's referred to as a political problem. If you're going to solve a problem with compromise, you need a core base to compromise on. And so there becomes a political process. But we don't involve ourselves in that at this level. So if you have disagreement on knowledge and consensus on values, we have a scientific problem. So for example would be, we believe fens are important resource in Minnesota. But we don't think pumping 100 million gallons a year is going to affect that. You know, we might think that, but they're going to disagree on that. It's a scientific problem to solve. Finally, if you have consensus on values and consensus on knowledge, you basically have a technical problem. So you agree that fens are important, and you agree that a certain amount needs to be pumped every year or to prevent that. So that's where you, that's where we think we are right away sometimes. So what CAMP does is take that social issue and moves it over to consensus on values. All the communities value groundwater. We don't have to value groundwater to the very specific, but we can at least, they understand groundwater is important. We understand it's important. We agree on values. They probably don't agree scientifically because they're not that well versed, or they may have other opinions. So what CAMP does is try to bring the scientific information to that so we agree on values and agree on scientific knowledge, and then we can start co-managing that aquifer. So this is kind of the social science that we use. And earlier today, I think it was Kerry Jennings mentioned, Sharon Pfeiffer, and I think, you know, Mae Davenport, and there's lots of approaches to social science. You know, I always try to, you know, pick the best ones and move forward it. And this is kind of the model that we are moving forward with to kind of at least get a sense of where we are when the situation starts. So if you understand you're under disagreement on values and knowledge, your information's probably not going to go as far as you want it to. So that's kind of that the science part. I always think social science is soft. I'm a technical person. I like to harden it up a little bit. So where does the CAMP start with community leaders? And the Freshwater Society, we're about 6 months into this, and I talked to Steve Woods there and said, okay, you've worked with communities in groundwater. What have you found out on there? And he said, local government, since groundwater, should be up to them to solve, because state and federal governments aren't as, you know, in the best, you know, position to do that. They also said locals want data provided to them without having to ask. And I thought that was quite odd, you know, but that's, you know, he said that's what they said, or that's what he conveyed. Local governments want site-specific information and recommended actions, not gravity pulls water downhill or, you know, these general things. They want specific information. And then LGUs feel far less knowledgeable about groundwater compared to surface water. So, you know, as we looked at this information and as our CAMP process was developing, you know, here's kind of what I come up with. The communities want a limited amount of unknown and specific information packaged in a usable manner. I mean, now, that's not an outrageous thing to ask for, but, you know, it kind of seems odd, but that's kind of what we saw out of this. So what did we do? In usable format is important. So we have a CAMP dashboard that we start all our collaborations with. You know, what's the aquifer cross-section? What's the groundwater use trends? What's the observation well data? So this is that little bit of site-specific information packaged in a usable manner. We've done about a dozen of these camps, eight in the last 6 weeks that were kind of formalized a little bit better after the first four. We kind of made our mistakes. But as we present this data to the communities, they're intelligent enough to read this dashboard. They can see, oh, this is our aquifer. And then we also tell who they share it with. And then the use trends and observation well data. Sometimes we don't have this whole dashboard filled out, because the data isn't there. You know, the good news on here is scientific and technical data can help build the collaboration. You know, you don't want to start with it, but it should be right there to help build it, because they're looking for that site-specific information. They're looking for trust. So this dashboard supports this transition from these interconnected silos to a collaboration. We're pretty good at communicating. We connect with each other very well. Communication's instantaneous these days. But how do we get interconnected silos more to a collaboration around a resource? And that's kind of the process that we're working toward. Everyone knows what organization they work for. We don't have to drill it into their heads. They know where their paycheck comes from. So we kind of take a different approach. We put the aquifer in the middle, And we have four, basically, quadrants. You work for the public or you're a private entity, you're a policymaker or you're a practitioner. And we found out most people, it's pretty self-evident where they fall into. Public policymaker, you have legal boards or local councils, boards, legislators, agency commissions. They have a certain sense of the risks and information they can provide about that aquifer. You go to the public practitioner, someone in my field, you know, in my position and others in this room, local and state technicians, agency scientists, they have a certain, you know, set of information and risks that they sense, you know. And then private practitioners, those are the ones that are, you know, using it, they have their own risks and information. And then private policymakers, which is kind of a oddball, if 10 years ago probably wouldn't even fit very well, but these are the the food processors, the sustainability people, you know, there's you know, General Mills is actually developing policy on how they procure stuff based on water use. And so when we lay this out, people usually can sense where they belong, not, you know, outside of their organization. And this group down here is the ones that are really the ones that solve the problems that the others are asking them to. So the agencies and the corporations are, you know, they're not the practitioners there. The public practitioners, like myself, assist the private to do that if it's a landowner. So we kind of go with, you know, we don't always start with that, and that's not even out there, but it helps sort things out. So here's how we start a collaboration with this sense. Usually it's like three of us, an area hydro, groundwater specialist and myself, and then a city administrator and a city water superintendent. So that's not, you know, and so there's five of us around the table. We present that information. They understand who they share it with. You know, it generally, it takes about an hour and a half to go through those three graphs. They share information. We find out who they share the aquifer with. We find all sorts of things that we didn't know. They find things that they didn't know. So it's a positive process, and it creates the opportunity for them to ask the next good question. Sometimes we've been in front of county boards, and they said, "Oh, do we have this issue somewhere in the county?" And the area hydro names off four other areas that have concerns. Well, if we'd go there and say you have five problems in the county, they'd probably back off a little bit. But if you present it, they know what their interests are. They don't necessarily care if it's in the water plan or the groundwater plan or their comprehensive plan or the development plan. They don't care if it's in the plan. If they have a problem, they want to know how to solve it. So then that's how we start it. So how do we build it? Well, we have these people around the table that are knowledgeable now on the issue. We may invite others. The community often wants to invite the people that are sharing the aquifer with them. You know, they see someone's using 200 million gallons a year. And they kind of knew they shared it with them, kind of didn't, but they go, they should hear this too. You know, add people, you know, that we haven't got anything this big yet, but we are going, you know, as we unfold these, they do get bigger. What's kind of interesting on here is organizations, we like these silos that we consider ourselves in. So FSC processor will have a board member with as a policymaker and also someone that runs the utility plant. So they have two individuals, you know, in different sectors from the same organization. Same with the DNR. We have public policymakers in the DNR. We have public practitioners, people that are experts in there. But if you look at DNR fisheries, they're also a user. They have as many concerns about accessing water as the irrigators do. So you get people looking at each other in a little different manner. You have businesses and farm operations. But here's the group that writes the groundwater checks. We look at groundwater as a joint checking account. We kind of change the focus from DNR, where is my water, to, oh, you're using my water, you know, and I'm using my water. So it kind of gives a sense of there's, a shared sense there that it's not a one-on-one with the individual in the DNR, but more of a group shared resource. And in this collaboration, there are, you know, no silos, although we all know where we're coming from. And there's generally no hierarchy, although we all understand where we fit in. Those people know intuitively, and so this helps people get a different vision of how they look at their resource, which is the challenge. So just to summarize, just got a couple slides left. So summary of Camp 1. So camp begins with the social process of co-managing aquifer because solutions are within the group of users. And I'll give a quick example of a small aquifer in Brown County. There was four farmers using a small aquifer in irrigation. A fifth one wanted a permit. There is a water pumping test done. There's a limited supply. They were provided the kind of that information. This was actually before me. So camps are kind of a natural progression of what people need. And two of the farmers decided, okay, we'll go Monday through Wednesday. And the other one said Thursday through Sunday on irrigation. The other two farmers decided that they're going to plant, when they plant corn, the other one's going to plant peas. So a spring and a fall demand. So those are solutions that the DNR probably isn't going to be able to recommend. Change crops. That's not going to happen. So if you provide it, we're looking for solutions within the group of users. They're the ones going to be wake up in the middle of the night with an idea that they can live with. So that's these, and there's other, once we started doing these camps, we found other ones that had spontaneously popped up on their own when scarcity arises. And so we want to be there before scarcity arises. And then the last bit here, we bring this up, but we don't delve into this too much. The water molecule from groundwater becomes supply water, becomes wastewater, becomes discharge and maybe recharge water. That's how it goes through the community. It gets regulated four or five times. And so we ask the community, how well are we collaborating to make sure your water supply is cost effective? How do we reduce use risks and costs? And so this is kind of an emergent piece from our original, and we haven't really delved into this, but it was hard to not discuss this with the communities because this was right in front of them after the aquifer. So we have eight of them going on in this early mid-December. I'm going to have a summary of the eight, and then we have an initial, a dozen that want to go after the first year. So depending on how we move this through is how we're going to unfold these collaborations. It's community-based. Of course, we're carrying the water right now, but we tell the communities that, they need to take ownership. We'll be there to support. As of, key aspects, inform users, land uses, water use, groundwater checking account. And then as of yesterday, the camp has finally gone onto the DNR website, so it's ready to roll from that perspective. So thank you for hanging in there.